We're joined by Bruce Williamson, who's a spokesperson for Rail Future. So what's the deal with Rail Future, and what's your take on what happened today? I mean, does the rail even have a future with a mess like that?
Oh, very much so. I mean, obviously, you know, things like this don't help the reputation of the rails, and obviously, you know, people such as yourself love a bad news story to sort of, you know, make Meltdown Monday all about. But, you know, rail certainly does have a future, because rail passenger numbers have doubled in the last 20 years, you know, which is quite an astonishing increase in passenger numbers. And we certainly haven't had the double the number of trains or double the number of lines. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what happens is when new lines are put in and new trains are implemented and a new timetable has to go with it, that inevitably there will be, to put it mildly, hiccups. You know, there are other factors making it worse. But
that's the thing. Know. The fact you say inevitably, this is the thing I can't get my head around. If they've had all of this time to run, surely some form of computer simulation, that timetable has to have been generated, and then you'd check that the trains can be in the right place given that new timetable, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I dare say things like that, you know, have happened as well. They have sort of run through all sorts of simulations. There is indeed still a shortage of drivers, and I think GTR are certainly, you know, guilty here of not planning staffing well enough or not ensuring that the drivers were in place. So a number of the cancellations occurred, you know, just they didn't have enough staff, and that's, you know, it's hard to find any sort of justification for that. There's no excuse for that, really.
Is that because the people just are not trained as drivers at all, or they just didn't put enough on shift for today?
It's both of those things, actually. They didn't have enough on shift, and I believe that some of the drivers obviously have to be trained for new trains and new routes and so on, and
right.
Not enough of them have gone through the training process. So obviously you can't drive the train if you don't know how to drive that particular model, or you know, drivers also, you may not be aware of this, they have to learn the route, whereas a lorry driver, you can just say go up the M6 and turn left at Manchester or whatever. You know, you can't say that to a train driver. They have to thoroughly learn the route that they're running the trains on.
I would imagine bus drivers would argue with that, because the bus could go anywhere.
Yeah, sure. I mean, obviously, a bus driver has to know the stops and so on, but a general delivery driver, they'll just give you a sat-nav and say, off you go, won't you? But it's different with trains.
But again, it does very much feel like that train's, it's on a track, isn't it? You don't have a lot of left and right to worry about.
No, you don't, but you do have a lot of stopping distance and signals to look out for and so on. You know, it is a skilled job, and you know, let's actually give the drivers some credit for actually running a very safe railway. You know, they are obeying the signals and the speed limits and so on.
And
we haven't had a passenger death on the railways for more than 10 years now, which is a very good record, I think.
But today's news story isn't about the drivers at all, is it? It's not even necessarily to do with just the travel chaos. It's the mixture of months of announcements at all of the affected train stations. Every single day, Bruce, I had to listen to, times are changing, don't be caught out, make sure you check your train times by the 20th. I mean, it was drummed into me so much, I was starting to lose sleep as we're getting towards the 20th. I'm getting nervous. You don't get this much hype when they bring out a new Star Wars film. So they really trailed this, and yet they weren't ready for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's good at least that the message got through to you, so you knew what was happening. It seems that, you know, we joke, but actually sometimes, you know, I think it is a legitimate complaint of the train operating companies that their communication isn't that great, particularly when things go wrong. And, you know, in the past we've had examples of passengers on their smartphones looking at Twitter and telling the platform staff what's actually happening rather than the other way around. So, you know, at least they got that element of it right. You knew what was happening, the message got through, but other elements of the big master plan didn't quite fall into place as well as we'd hoped.
So is this a national rail failure? Is this just the individual operator's failure? Or where do you think, it feels like there should be accountability, or at least a plan to fix it, because there's going to be more changes.
Yeah, I agree. I think the villain of the piece is, to a large extent, Govia Thames Link Railway. You know, and of course they are the bad boys of the railway industry at the moment. They don't have a lot of public sympathy, and you know, clearly the whole issue of rostering staff is down to them, really.
Hmm.
So I think we can lay blame there. I mean, some people have blamed the drivers for not volunteering to do certain shifts, but if it's a voluntary thing, then they're not obliged to do that, and the train operating company should have seen that coming. Perhaps maybe Network Rail have a part to play as well, but you know, it's a complex sort of issue of people having to work together, thousands of people having to work together to make this thing work well. And clearly, you know, a tiny little hiccup can have sort of knock-on consequences.
And what other stuff is being left at Govia's door? Because they were the ones who run Southern, don't they? And that had all the problem with the strikes.
Yeah.
What else?
There are also, I mean, there's hints of industrial relation problems on other parts of the railway. Yes, Southern certainly have had a very, very bad reputation. And I think I'm right in saying that unlike other franchises, this is run as a sort of fixed deal. So they're paid, or they pay a fixed amount. No, they're paid a fixed amount to run the railway, but they're not taking the ticket revenue. So they're sort of slightly less incentivized, I suppose, to grow passengers than other franchises. That business model has some advantages and some disadvantages. And we could go on for hours about whether franchising works and whether privatization is the right way forward, but perhaps we'll save that one for another day.
Sounds like we should definitely get you on for that, though. I reckon we could fill a show with some of that.
Yeah.
So can I ask, did you have any travel hiccups today?
No, I'm pleased to say that I live outside the London area, and I didn't take a train today. I did come to London last week, though, and that train was slightly delayed, but all's well that ends well, really. I got home in time.
And predictions for tomorrow morning, everything in place, running like
clockwork? Well, to be fair, the reports I'm getting are that a lot of the problems have been sort of dealt with and the number of delays was reduced over the course of the day. So whilst there's no guarantees, I'm pretty confident that things will run a little bit smoother tomorrow and in future they'll iron out these problems. And, you know, this is all about, you know, improving the railway, increased capacity. So I think the long-term bigger picture is a good one. We'll have an improved railway with more seats and more trains.
Well, the more seats, I'll take some of that. I reached that age where I do enjoy a seat. Bruce, thank you very much. Bruce Williamson, spokesperson for Rail Future. Were you caught in the rail chaos today? Do you have sympathy?